What's up, Knicks Nation? It is the middle of August, and there's really not much going on, but we have a Mitchell Robinson and Julius Randle injury update to talk about. Will both of them miss the start of training camp?
Run that intro.
Basketball.
You're listening to the Knicks Nation podcast, where we've got all your Knicks needs covered.
Puts up a three. Bang! Bang! He ties the game!
Now, live from the city that never sleeps, here are your hosts, Anthony and Chris.
What's up, Knicks Nation? I'm Anthony, joined by my co-host, Chris. This is episode 62 of the Knicks Nation podcast. We are recording this episode this week, simply due to the fact that it is the middle of August, not much going on, and, you know, Chris and I decided to come on here because we found this mailbag from Ian Begley answering questions regarding Julius Randle's health and Mitchell Robinson's health a little bit interesting, maybe alarming, depending on how you want to read it. Chris, what's up, bro?
Not much, man. Not much. Happy to be here. Like you said, hopefully go through a little bit of Knicks news because, let's be honest, not too much is going on. But feeling good, man. How about you?
Feeling good. Look, schedule came out. We went through the schedule. Brunson got introduced as the captain. Went through that. Jacob Toppin signed a two-way, right?
With yep, New York two-way Knicks contract.
So that was, you know, interesting. The New York Knicks lost another coach, another, you know, scout. So New York Knicks coaches are just leaving us. They're just leaving us. Johnny Bryant, Scott King, and now, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Chris. You know how to pronounce it better than me.
I'll take a shot at it. Makhdar Nidiyei.
Yeah, so he was the director of international and pro scouting. He is leaving the organization to join the Dallas Mavericks front office. He was with the New York Knicks since 2015 and 2016. He most recently played a pivotal role behind the scenes in the acquisition of OG Anunoby and Dante DiVincenzo. So wow. Another scout coach gone to another team, and, you know, we must be doing something right, right? We must be doing something right.
That's what I took away from it, to be honest. You know, I think it's good when, you know, other teams want a piece of your team, right? So whether it's, you know, Johnny Bryant or now it's Makhdar, which looks like he's going to Dallas. So I think that's a good thing, man. It shows that we're no longer the joke of the NBA, right? So to me, That's good. Sucks to be losing another guy, especially somebody who, you know, helped bring in OG and DiVincenzo. So, you know, but best of luck to him at Dallas, and I'm sure we'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll be all right. So, you know, best of luck in Dallas, and, you know, hopefully the Knicks can recoup that loss. All right, so pretty much what you guys are here for. Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson. I'm going to share my screen right now. This was a mailbag from Ian Begley. So I thought this was interesting. I thought to bring this to the attention of you guys. So let me just share my screen really quick. All right. This is a mailbag from Ian Begley. Ian Begley, respected reporter on the New York Knicks. He's answering questions on the injury front on Julius Randle. I guess we can start with the Julius Randle news, Chris. He says right here, also on the injury front, we reported late last month that Julius Randle's rehab from his right shoulder surgery was going very well. Then he says, you know, the Knicks at the time said Randle would be reevaluated in September, that is next month. Based on other timelines for shoulder surgery, it would be surprising if Randle were ready for the start of training camp. But if everything progresses well, he should be back on the court for the Knicks October 22nd season opener or soon thereafter. That is Julius Randle, Chris, and he threw in there that it would be surprising if Randle were ready for the start of training camp. And I feel like a lot of us like kind of overlooked this a little bit. I mean, I guess when Julius Randle went through his surgery, I guess, you know, the timeline did bring him, what, September, October-ish. Randle has said will see to fans at the I think he was at the Fan Fest, and they asked him about his shoulder, and he said, "We'll see if I'm, you know, ready for the start of the season." So more of this is like what we already knew, Chris, but I guess as the time is, you know, coming closer, you're kind of like questioning, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me think back to, you know, when Julius tried to, you know, I think there was a week, two or three period where Julius was trying to, you know, basically work his way through it without getting surgery. And now it kind of makes you wonder, damn, what if he just got surgery right away, would have been ready to go? You know, let's not forget, he did try to rehab that shoulder without surgery, eventually had a setback. You know, I think he tweaked it, actually. So, you know, that plays a part into things. So hopefully he is ready for the season opener, if not soon thereafter. But hopefully it's not a thing that, you know, becomes, oh, maybe next week, or oh, maybe next month, and kind of drags on. Because honestly, I don't think Julius can afford for that to be the case, considering, you know, he's up for extension.
So you're not concerned at all regarding Julius? You don't feel like this is something we should be worried about at all? Because
I'm not going to say at all, but
yeah, look, shoulder injuries are very, as we all know, they're tricky, right? And who knows, if has Julius been taking contact? Has he even tried to take contact? I'm sure he hasn't. I'm sure he's waiting until training camp. Look, it's August 18th at the time we're recording this. We still got a month until training camp. So that's another month for his rehab. That's another month for him to heal up. But yeah, I mean, I guess, so you're not concerned.
If I had to give it a grade from 10 being most concerned to 1 not being concerned, I'm going to say a three. Just because I feel like Julius is going to put in that work. You know, he's not going to leak any info out that, you know, he doesn't want to. And I'm sure with everything going on with the extension and if they're talking or not, you know, he's going to keep that information close to his chest. And if I know Julius, he's going to put in the work to get better. I just don't see him, you know, basically being lazy about it. So yeah, if anybody can come back earlier from something like this, I think it'll be a Julius Randle.
Yeah, true. Exactly. And more of what Ian Begley is saying is pretty much what we've known. He's just literally just reiterating that, look, they had the timeline, and the timeline brings him until the start of the training camp. We just have to wait and see on an update. He does say, but if everything progresses well, he should be back on the court for the Knicks October 22nd. Should be back on the court for the New York Knicks in October 22nd. I'm not. Look, you gave it a 3.
Yeah.
Your concernometer.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll give it a 4. I'm not too concerned about it, but, you know, Knicks have a tough, you know, opening schedule out the gate. You know, first 10, I think 7 of the first 10 are on the road, but, you know, now that we pretty much got, you know, Mikal Bridges, OG, we got guys that can, you know, fill the void of Randle. Randle's big for this team, but, you know, just get healthy, because we're going to need Julius Randle at the end of the season in our playoff run, in our championship run, because ultimately, Chris, that's the goal for the season, right? It's a championship run. Yeah. You know, that's it. Yeah. You put all your chips.
It has to be. I mean, I know we have some glaring, you know, issues such as backup big, you know, if you want to put it that way, and obviously not knowing the status of Julius Randle, what you're going to get. But come playoff time, Julius Randle needs to be on the court. And I know he doesn't have the greatest playoff track record, but let's be real. With this team around him, you know, if we all stay healthy, and Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, you know, OG Anunoby, and Julius Randle on the court come playoff time, only good things can come from that, in my opinion.
Yeah, and, you know, Knicks, they made their big splash. It was Mikal Bridges. You know, they traded a bunch of picks in their future for Mikal Bridges. So this is the team that they think right now, I mean, obviously we can tinker a little bit come trading deadline, but this is, you know, the core is there. You have Mikal, OG, Jalen, Dante, Hart, Julius, and yeah, Chris, like, come playoff time, Julius has to, he has to perform because he got hurt two seasons ago with his ankle, came back, had his moments versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. Last season, freak injury, but got hurt. Ultimately tried to come back, couldn't. There was some turmoil there between, I guess he wanted to, I forgot what it was. He wanted to get the surgery in February, or I forgot the full story, and somebody told him to wait, you could rest it and come back, and then he wound up re-injuring his shoulder. Let's not forget that. He re-injured his shoulder. So, you know, this is the season where, you know, come playoff time, we need a bit, we need a healthy Julius Randle is what we're saying, you know. So,
yeah, Julius is going to be, I keep saying this, but Julius is such a big part of this team, whether he has an extension or not. We're going to need him there come playoff times because, you know, we saw it the past season. We missed Julius. We missed Julius out there. Granted, we didn't have Mikal Bridges, and obviously OG Anunoby was hampered with injuries, as was basically our entire lineup. But,
yeah,
you know, this season, I think the Knicks are banking on health, and they're also banking on having Julius Randle good to go come playoff time.
Exactly. So that is the update on Julius Randle. More of what we've already known. Come training camp, we will see if he's doing 5-on-5s. Or probably Knicks are not going to push it. I wouldn't be surprised if he misses some games early on in the season. They're not going to rush him, obviously, due to his extension. And Randle's probably not going to rush back either because he wants a big payday. Now, anything else you wanted to touch on before we move on to this Mitchell Robinson news, who actually has me kind of nervous.
No, let's move on to Mitch, man, because just like you said, I'm getting a little worried there.
All right, so on to Mitchell Robinson. As we all know, Isaiah Hartenstein is no longer a New York Knick. He went to Oklahoma City. Knicks have faith in that Mitchell Robinson will be that starting caliber center, as he's already proven to be a good starting caliber center in the NBA. But durability is an issue for Mitchell Robinson. In this mailbag, Ian Begley mentions Mitchell Robinson. He says Mitchell Robinson is also rehabbing a surgically repaired injury this offseason. Robinson had surgery in mid-May to repair a stress injury to his left ankle. As of earlier this week, Robinson had not yet been cleared for high-intensity weight-bearing activities during his rehab, per people familiar with the matter. So Robinson has to clear several hurdles before he gets clearance to fully participate in training camp. He has to clear several hurdles before he gets clearance to fully participate in training camp. Look, it is August 18th. Robinson doesn't really seem concerned on IG, you know, posting his trucks and whatever. But Chris, the New York Knicks simply did not address the backup center position. Now they signed Precious Achiuwa. We've seen Precious Achiuwa starting to work on his three-point game, hitting corner threes. I think he posted a IG story of him hitting 10 threes in a row. And maybe the Knicks are telling him to practice on your threes because that's what we want from you this season. You know, give us,
I hope 30, so.
30 to 35%. Give us that. I hope so too, right?
35% would be,
yeah, that's a stretch. That's a stretch. but does this get you a little bit like, what's going on here, you know?
Yeah. I mean, look, we're all basically wishing and hoping that Mitch has, you know, a crazy healthy season, right? You know, that's basically what we're wishing and hoping for, because obviously with the loss of Ihart, Mitch is our real true center. Yeah. You know, he's the only guy that can match up with seven-footers pretty much. And then after that, we got a bunch of undersized bigs, you know? So that's going to be an issue when you're facing Porzingis, you know? When you're facing a Chet Holmgren type, you know, even a Jokic type, Embiid.
Yeah.
You know, the list goes on and on and on. Those are the teams that we're going to be battling, you know? That's what worries me, man, is not having another big who's, you know, 7 foot and can kind of body up these guys. Granted, you know, we have a lot of good players, Precious, obviously. Who knows what we're going to get from Jericho Sims. But again, it just leaves Mitch out there as the biggest what if, right? Like, what if he stays healthy for the whole season? What can we get from Mitch? Obviously, we saw last season, Mitch was having an all-NBA defensive type of season, got hurt. Iheart supplanted him and just ran away with the starting job. So it does worry me, Mitch, you know, dealing with these nagging injuries, and it makes me not like Embiid even more, you know?
Yeah.
But let me not go back to that. But yeah, it definitely worries me. And again, if I have to put this on a 1 to 10 scale, you know, obviously 10 being the most worried, I say I'm at an 8 with Mitch, because while I do believe, you know, in the pieces that we have filling in, the fact that he's rehabbing an injury that was already repaired, and, you know, that's what gets me the most nervous.
Yeah.
You know, it's taking more and more time. Obviously, I don't know. It's just not making me feel any better that you have to just bank on Mitchell Robinson staying healthy. And you're already starting the season possibly with him not being available.
Yeah, look, there's a possibility that the Knicks can be without Mitch and Julius to start this season. Now, look, again, I want to reiterate, it is early. It is August, the middle of August. But, I mean, he's not been cleared yet for high-intensity activities, and he has to clear several hurdles. Yeah, man, so you put it at an 8, and look, I don't blame you. You know, Mitch is that guy that has durability issues. And do you feel like this is going to be one of those things where, you remember last season, Knicks came into the season with a bunch of guards, and everyone was like, all right, something has to give. Like, playing time is a problem. You know, Dante was getting frustrated about playing time. They just couldn't really get the grasp of things before they traded for OG Anunoby. Do you have a feeling? So they ultimately fixed that issue, right? They consolidated. They traded away two rotational players, acquiring one in OG Anunoby. Do you have a feeling that, you know, the Knicks are kind of doing the opposite here? They're kind of going into the season with kind of some blind faith that, you know, Mitchell Robinson is going to be that guy for them. And look, I hope he is, man. This is not us poo-pooing Mitchell Robinson at all. We want Mitchell Robinson to be healthy. It's just, you know, we're reacting on this, and look, it's still early, but you feel like the Knicks are kind of like going into it kind of with the hope that Mitchell Robinson will be healthy, even though what he has shown us is that's not the case.
Honestly, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think this front office is too smart to take a gamble like that, having the data in front of them, right? You know, knowing that Mitchell Robinson has gotten hurt, you know, freak accidents or not, he's always getting hurt, getting injured, missing time. And I think it showed when I believe this was back in July, the Knicks were rumored to be going after Walker Kessler from the Utah Jazz. And I believe it was Ian Bagley reported the Knicks offered 2 first-round picks for Walker Kessler. They were denied, unfortunately. But I think right there, it shows that the Knicks had to know something about Mitch, his status. Maybe he's not progressing as quickly as they'd like to. They obviously try to get a guy like Walker Kessler in here, a young, big, who's, I believe he's 7 foot, right? Who can stretch the floor, obviously defends well. Still young, obviously, but has a lot of potential. They offered 2 first-round picks. And I believe that was after acquiring Mikal Bridges. So I think that says a lot in itself. You know, obviously we gave away a haul of picks for Mikal Bridges. Then to turn around and go to Utah and say, hey, here's 2 first-round picks for Kessler and get denied. I think right there that shows, you know, they had to have some type of a backup plan. Maybe they were shocked that they were denied, but then it makes you also wonder, why did they use that draft capital to go after somebody else? Mm-hmm. Because there were a few names out there.
Yeah, look. Yeah, I mean, well said. And I do think the Knicks, they have a plan, because we didn't see the OG Anunoby stuff brewing. I mean, there was reports from Scotto before that happened that the Knicks are still checking in on OG Anunoby. So I think the Knicks kind of have a backup plan, and I feel like they, you know how these GMs work. They're, you know, hey, what's going on? Shoot them a text, you know, hey, just in case, you know, this trade is still on the table, you know. I'm sure they have, you know, plan A, plan B, and plan C in place, like they've shown us. So I wouldn't, yeah, I would kind of retract that. I wouldn't say blind faith, but, you know, he also, I think Ian Begley says, Knicks currently have Robinson, Achiuwa, and Jericho Sims as possible centers. Then he says, based on this, I would assume that the Knicks would continue to at least explore their options to acquire another backup big man. This is from his mailbag. He says this right here. So, yeah, look, still a month and some change away from training camp. But, hey, I mean, it's coming quick. You know, it's coming quick. You know, and that's yeah. I'm pretty sure if come training camp, if Mitchell Robinson is not cleared yet and Julius Randle's status is still open, I'm not concerned about Randle. I'm really not. I feel like he'll be good, because he's like, he's Iron Man too. You know, all these injuries are freak injuries. So
exactly. I feel the same way. Now Mitch, on the other hand, that's the one that worries me.
Yeah.
And who knows? It could be something like the Knicks are waiting till, you know, camp start, and maybe somebody shakes loose, something like that, you know, somebody they can grab on the cheap. Who knows? But until they do that, man, am I gonna be nervous about the backup big situation?
Yeah, so you know, we don't want this to be like, you know, that we're like down. We're just, you know, giving you guys as much information as possible, giving you guys my opinion, Chris's opinion, and you guys can comment down below what you guys think about the whole Mitchell Robinson situation and the Julius Randle situation. Like I said, and Chris said, I really do think Julius Randle would be good to go. But Mitchell Robinson is the one who, you know, I'm kind of nervous, but I'm hoping for a bounce back season for Mitch. Because I am. Because, you know, the more I think about it, the Knicks are going to miss Hartenstein, man. They are, with his passing and stuff. But, you know, I have faith in Mitch. I do.
We are going to miss Ihart. But if we get the Mitch we had early on last season, again, he was having like an all-defensive type of season. You know, if he can stay relatively healthy, that's going to be huge, man.
Yeah.
The only reason I say I'm nervous is not so much for the season in its entirety. It's just come playoff time, you know, because Mitch is going to be a big part of that as well. Just like I said, Julius is huge. Mitch is going to be huge, simply because when you're facing Jokic, when you're facing Porzingis, you know, when you're facing, you know, even Pascal Siakam types, you know, you need a rim protector like Mitch out there.
Yeah, that's true. So that is the information regarding both Julius Randle and Mitchell Robinson. And yeah, Chris, anything else you wanted to touch on regarding both of those two?
Get well soon.
Hey, we hope.
Can't wait to see you guys on the court.
Yeah. We'll see them. You know, we'll be good.
We'll be good, though. Let's be real. We got JB, Josh Hart, DiVincenzo, OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges. Look, I'm pretty sure the Knicks will be just fine, especially if Julius and Mitch do not start the season. But like I said, we need them come playoff time.
We do, and we will get them come playoff time, and we hope for that. But that was the mailbag from Ian Begley that we, you know, we wanted to get to you guys. Thought that was interesting. And now we have Chris wanted to get to the NBA. So, you know, obviously it's the middle of the summer, nothing really going on besides that news regarding the Knicks and Mitchell Robinson, Julius Randle. Couple of signings, Jacob Toppin, losing coaches here and there. You know, guys are still on vacation. So, it's you know, it's August, right, Chris? It's August, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone's taking a break. Everyone's taking a break. So, NBA 2K, very popular game. Those of you who play video games, those of you that don't play video games, NBA 2K is a basketball video game. And I think it's coming out when? Next month? I don't even know.
September 4th, I believe.
Yeah, Chris is more in tune with that because, you know, I stink at 2K now. I used to play a lot, but...
You got to get back.
But, all right, so obviously we're bringing that to you guys because they have ratings for our New York Knicks, Chris.
Yep.
And, all right, let's get to the team rating first. So, the Knicks right now have a team rating of, here it is, 84. Let me just make this a little bit bigger. 84 is the team rating. Chris, I mean, 84?
Not only that, they have us as a tier two team, not even a tier one team.
These ads by Google pissing me off. But yeah, tier two. What is a tier one team?
That's your championship contending teams, you know? That's your Denver Nuggets.
Oh, my God.
That's I'm pretty sure OKC is probably a tier a one team, you know? Hell, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, you got Dallas in there. You probably got the Pacers in there. You know, 2K is always funny when it comes to the
Pacers.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised simply because they took us out.
All right. First of all, the New York Knicks, overall, this 84, in my opinion, should be at least a 90. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
First of all. We're 70 defensive as a team, by the way.
70 defensive as a team. That's what they
One
have.
One of the best teams.
With OG and Mikal.
Crazy.
All right. So, put that aside. You know, whatever. They should be at least a 90. Defense is 70 when you have Mitch, OG, Mikal, Hart. Oh, okay. I'll play along 2K. But if you scroll down to the NBA player rankings, all right, first, Jalen Brunson, 94. No problems with that, right?
It's good. Higher.
Julius Randle, 86. Look, coming off shoulder surgery, 86. 3-point is at 73. First of all, Jalen Brunson dunk is at 35. That should be at.
And like, I guarantee you he's still going to be able to dunk in the game.
That should be at like 15 or something like that.
I think that Julius is disrespectful, man. Like, I get it, the injury and all that, but come on, man. You're talking about all NBA player, all-star. He should at least be an 89.
Rating, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So... he's at 86. This is where I have a problem. Mikal Bridges, 83. You know, I had NBA 2K 23 or 24. And I looked at Bridges and he was like an 87, 88 is when he first got traded to the Nets. Now, when he is a New York Knicks, he is at 83. I just think it's too low.
Yeah,
I just think
for somebody who was the primary guy on the Nets, you know, how do you all of a sudden become an 83?
The same rating as Josh Hart.
And you're right, he was an 87.
How do you fall? He had not a bad season last year. He had a down season last year simply due to the fact that the Nets wanted him to be that guy. That is not in Mikal Bridges's, you know, that's not him. His role on the New York Knicks is perfectly suited for him. Yeah. That guy who plays from other people, you know, like he did in Phoenix.
I actually think he can be that guy, but it's not in the same vein as of like a LeBron or a KD where it's just give me the ball and clear out.
Yeah.
I think he's just an all around team player at a high level.
Yeah. And then you have OG Anunoby at 82, 3-point at 82, dunk at 85 for OG Anunoby. I feel like OG should be 84-ish. I think Mikal should be 85, 86-ish. And Josh Hart, I like where Josh Hart's at, 83. But I think Mikal and OG, and you thought Julius Randle was too low. Yeah. That's where they kind of messed me up. You see, Mitchell Robinson, 82. And Bridges at 83. Dante 82, Deuce 79. Shout out to Deuce. Precious 78.
Wait, hold up. They're giving Deuce McBride an 85 3-ball. You're telling me Dante does not get a 90 plus? Come on.
Doesn't make sense.
That does not make sense.
It should be at least 90. Yeah.
Deuce had a good shooting season, don't get me wrong, especially come playoff time. He was hitting some crazy shots, but we all know what Dante did for us in the playoffs and throughout the season. So, you know, how do you break the 3-point record for the team and you end up with an 86?
Campaign 83, McBride 85. I think Dante's the highest on the team. Well, Brunson 86. Look, Brunson took a major step forward in terms of a three point shot, but
yeah.
Dante should still be above Jalen Brunson.
Yeah. Dante should be a 90 at the least a 90.
Yeah. Then you got Campaign 76, Precious 78. So giving some love to Precious and Cam and Deuce. Jericho 73. Any 60s on the team? Jacob Toppin, damn, 67. I don't hate it.
Yep.
Oh, Daddy A, 69. Kolek, 70. That's going to jump, man. That's going to jump.
I think the highest rated rookie was 75.
Yeah.
So I'll take the 70.
Yeah. So, and then.
Hey, 40 is right there with Bronny James, man.
68. Yeah, I think Bronny's a 69. Hey, Porty. Talk about center position. Watch out for him, too. Here we have the images. This doesn't look like Brunson. I don't know. They made him look mean.
That first trailer, so mean? It looked pretty good for Brunson, but I don't know. Maybe that's just a bad screenshot.
And then Randall looks like Randall. Hart, I think Josh Hart looks like Josh Hart.
Yeah.
Dante, Mikal, Chris is dealing with a national emergency right now over there.
Yeah, sorry guys, about to get hit with the flood. It's been raining like crazy out here.
Yeah, it's been raining a lot. All right, so you know we talked about those were the 2K rankings. Just having some fun with them. Let us know in the comments below. Who do you think got disrespected the most? I think it's Mikal. I think he should be higher personally. Dante's 3, like Chris said, is crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Still should be 90.
There's a lot of disrespect there, in my opinion. But I got to say Julius, man. You would never thought I'd be this high on Julius Randle the way I've said things in the past. But he definitely deserves to be at least a 90 or 89, man.
Yeah.
Come on, 2K.
He'll get there. I think, you know, they just right now are kind of low blowing us. And I don't even want to look at Philly's rankings because I know they're going to be inflated. I just know it's the media hyping them.
That's definitely a tier one team right there, too.
Oh, my God. But yeah,
no, these ratings do change. So, you know, as the season gets along, they'll have no choice but to put us with the top.
There we go. All right. This was fun. This was a recorded episode of the Knicks Nation podcast. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so already. Smash the thumbs up button. Really helps out the channel. So, you know, got you guys information regarding Julius and Mitchell Robinson. Let us know in the comments below what you guys think. And yeah, I mean, middle of August, not much going on. So, you know, anything else you wanted to? Did we miss anything, Chris? Did I not see anything? Hope not.
No, that's pretty much it. You know, it's been quiet. You know, we're over here discussing NBA 2K. So, you know, you guys let us know what you guys think. Let us know whatever you guys want us to talk about. Feel free to, you know, drop us some questions or anything. You know, if you guys want to play 2K, let us know, man. Drop the gamer tags.
yes, indeed. All right. This was fun. You know, catch you guys. I don't know if the next one will be recorded or not. You know, normally we do every Sunday recorded. That's during the season. That's not going to change. But, you know, as news is kind of slower on during the summer months, we might do it, you know, recorded episodes or, you know, I don't know. Just look out for the updates. Push notifications. Make sure you guys have that on. And, yeah, this was fun, Chris. episode in the books.
And apologies for the obviously the flood warning, but
Chris got to go check on his structure outside now.
I got to make sure my house is floating away.
All right, guys. I'm Anthony from Knicks Nation.
I'm Chris.
We'll catch you guys next time. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please hit that follow button to stay updated with our latest episodes. And we also greatly appreciate those 5-star reviews. For you video enthusiasts out there, head over to our YouTube channel to catch the podcast in video form. YouTube.com/KnicksNation. You'll find all the relevant links conveniently listed in the show notes below. See you next time.